Bob Jones University presents Word of Truth with Dr. Bob Jones, Sr. As founder of the world's largest fundamental Christian university and a preacher who loved people, Dr. Jones influenced thousands to come to the Savior. Even until the time he went to live with his Lord, his practical insight into the commandments of God in the hearts of men helped people all over the world find the answers to life in the Word of Truth.
Thank you very much. My friends, sometimes I think we forget the kind of world we're living in. And I think a great many people take for granted things are all right. And sometimes I don't think we are enough down to earth in our preaching and dealing with the problems we're facing. Now, Paul wrote Timothy a letter. You can read in the Bible, and I'd advise you to read 1 and 2 Timothy. Those two epistles are very interesting. Paul told Timothy what to do. Timothy was a young preacher. And he told Timothy to preach the word. Now, that's the thing a man should do. That's what a preacher's supposed to preach. You're supposed to preach the word. When you're preaching, you're to take the word of God, and of course you can apply the word. You can apply it to the home. You can apply it to the community. You can apply it to the nation. You can apply it to the world. The things the Bible have worldwide application. The things the Bible have personal application. The things the Bible that apply to sinners. Some of the things that apply to backsliders. And some things that apply to Christians growing in grace. There's something in the Bible that applies to mothers and fathers and homes, see. We're to rightly divide the word of truth. There's certain things in the Bible that apply to preachers. Paul told Timothy to preach the word. He told him to be instant in season, out of season. Now that's a wonderful statement, isn't it? Preach the word. Anything that's not in harmony with the word, you should use the word to preach against. And anything in the Bible, even in the commonplace everyday life, diligent in business, that's in the word. Fervent in spirit, that's in the word. Serving the Lord, that's in the word. Parents, bring up your children, nurture and admonish your Lord, that's in the word. All those things there in the word of God are to be preached. Now, Paul told Timothy, do what? He told him he's a preacher now. He said, preach the word. That's what a preacher's supposed to preach. He's supposed to preach what's in the word. If it isn't in the word, he's not supposed to preach it. Preach the word. Now, he said, keep on preaching it. Be instant in season, out of season. Now, what he says, do now listen. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine or teaching. Now, notice, reprove, rebuke, exhort. I spoke to you some time ago on this, but I got to thinking about this morning that there should be a stronger emphasis along this line. Now, I'm telling you frankly, with all respect to preachers over this country, I get around. There's been a change in the preaching in my lifetime. No doubt about that. When I was a boy in the country, way back yonder, some time ago, you know, I went to hear those old country preachers preach. They took a text and they stuck to it. They preached the word. They preached the word. They all believed the word. If they debated, they didn't debate about whether the Bible was so or not. They debated about what it said. Now, Paul said to him, now preach the word. Here's your book. Here's what you're to preach. You're to preach the word. Not science. Except the science may be related to it, and some science conflicts with the word. That's different. Preach the word. If something comes along, you say, well, now, that isn't right because the word says so-and-so. Forever the word of God is settled in heaven. It's settled forever in heaven. That book is the word of God, forever settled and ever sealed. In the original language, even the very words themselves were given by inspiration. In the original language. Now, in the translations, man have taken the word in its original language and given it to us in the language of his country. But the translation we have covers, in a very definite way, all the fundamental things. Now, a preacher should preach the word. What should he do? He should be in the season and out of season. He should keep preaching it. Shouldn't give up. Don't preach it today and preach something else tomorrow. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Now notice these words here now. These are especially the words I want to call attention to. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Now I've said these things to you over several times, but I want to drive them home today. Reprove. You know, that's the kind of preaching they had when I was a boy. When I went to church with my mother and sat there and swung my feet under the bench, you know, and listened to the preacher, he'd skin the life out of the people there for not living right, see. Boy, he went down the line. He reproved us. He told us we weren't living like that. Parents not bring up the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He rebuked them for it. He reproved them for it. What did he do? And he exhorted them. What did he do? In line with the Bible. He'd go back to the Bible and show them. He reproved. He rebuked. If they were out of line with the word of God, he said, you're wrong. bring up a child nurse in admonition of his Lord, they said. What does that mean? He'd tell about it. He drove it home. Well, now, we don't have much of that kind of preaching anymore. I don't know what's happened to it. Even us preachers that believe it, Bible thoroughly, we sometimes get neglected. We get the beautiful themes of the Bible, wonderful things. But you know, most of the Bible is written to the people in this world. What to do now? How to rear your children? How to bring up your children? What to do with your children? How to make your children mine? How to treat your neighbor? How to run your business? Most of the things in the Bible have to do with this world. As I've told you many times before, and I want to say it again, I can tell any man how to go to heaven in 5 minutes' time and put him on the road if he wants to go. Any sinner that wants to go, wants to get right. It's the easiest thing in the world to tell him how to go to heaven. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I shall be saved. You might have to explain that to him. It wouldn't take you but a minute. You can put him on the road to heaven. All right, now, on the road to heaven, most of the Bible tells him how to live. Now, he told Timothy how to preach. Say, how long since you went to church one Sunday morning and the preacher preached to you so straight and reproved you so much that you went away there and said, well, I wonder if I was ever saved or not. Maybe I wasn't. He goes heart searching and say, yes, I was saved. I'm just going cold, see? Well, that's the kind of preaching they had when I was a boy. That's the sort of preaching they had. That's the kind of preaching they had in the old evangelistic days. That's the kind of preaching Sam Jones did in the South, and those great evangelists. That's the kind of preaching in the old evangelistic field up north. Bill Sunday was living, and Chapman, and Tarry, and Beetlewolf, and those giants were spreading out all this country. And they were preaching 1 million people a day in those days. And what did they do? They reproved, they rebuked, they exhorted. They didn't throw kisses at them. They didn't pat them on the back. They didn't say to the modernists and the fundamentalists, come sit together, we're all brethren anyhow. They told those modernists they were going to hell. I heard Billy Sunday preach one time on the second coming of Christ. First time I'd ever heard him preach on that subject. I think he'd been studying a long time. And he'll turn around one time and ran across the platform and said, when Jesus comes, he's going to take up the saints, that those that died in Christ will be raised, and those who are living will be translated to meet the Lord there. And he ran across there. He said, I understand that there's a preacher that comes over here and sits with this preacher section that doesn't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ and doesn't believe in the blood atonement. And I want to tell you what's going to happen to him. He's going to hell. He won't go up. Don't tell me a man that doesn't believe in the deity of Christ is going to heaven. When you trust Jesus Christ, you know he's God. When I stood there and watched him, I reported into him. Now, you don't have much of that kind of preaching today. That's the reason you don't have any revival that means anything. It's all a nice, sweet, come on, everybody together, modernists, Bible believers, and fundamentalists, all those get together. We're all one sweet, happy crowd, all those going along, traveling together. Yeah, most of them are going to hell, too. That's what's the matter with this country. Most of them are going to hell, never been born again. A man who has ever trusted Jesus Christ knows Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. Now, I know he was God. I knew it when I was a little boy at the age of 11. I came to him a poor, lost sinner, and I trusted him as my Savior, and I knew that he was God. I never could have accepted the modern position on Jesus Christ, Lord, these preachers. I believed in the blood atonement. I believed all those things. Everybody else did. And born-again people do. If you don't believe these fundamentals, you're not born again. See? Now, get it clear. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He can't even see the direction there. And all of this conglomerated movement we have today is not of God. It's the devil's movement. It's a sellout. Listen, the devil's a pretty nice fella when he comes around dressed up. He's not so bad. He told Adam and Eve to be nice folks and be like God. See? Well, he said, you don't have to kowtow to anybody. Go on, be like God, see? Well, you know, he can come as an angel of light and fix things up and sound mighty good. But now the Bible makes it plain. The evangelist is to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. He's to stick to the doctrines. He's to reprove people. He's to rebuke that which is wrong. He should rebuke the modernists. He should rebuke these men that are selling Jesus Christ down the river. He's to rebuke them. He's given to the cause of Jesus Christ, to the saints. As I quoted before, when Jesus Christ sent on high and led captive to captive, he gave gifts unto men. He gave some prophets, some apostles, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers to perfect the saints on the work of the ministry. Now, I've known all the great evangelists that have lived for 50 years. Gypsy Smith's been a guest in my home, Bill Sunday, Chapman, Tarry, Beetlewolf, the fellows down south, those mighty men of God that went up and down this country years ago. What did they do? They just literally preached to the folks till they couldn't sleep at night. And now that kind of preaching is almost extinct in America, and that's what's the matter with the young people. If a school went wrong, I remember being like old Bishop Candle in Atlanta, Georgia, going up and down this country back in the early days when I was a boy, young fellow, other men like that. And they talked about the schools and where they were going and not to give them any money. And they went down the line and talked straight to them. I went through all of those things. Now, we are told to do that, to reprove, rebuke, exhort, not support. Don't pat them on the back. Don't bid them Godspeed, but reprove them. Now, that's the teaching of the Bible. Clear as day, Paul wrote Timothy's letter. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Now, that's what this country needs in the pulpits of America. We need a crusade of that kind of preaching. Reproving, rebuking, exhorting. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Well, how? With all long-suffering. You just don't give up now. And doctrine, teaching, long-suffering, about the fundamentals. All right, Paul said to the Corinthians, I'm determined not knowing anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, wait a minute. The emphasis there is on you. There were other things that could be preached someplace, but those little babies in Christ, I'm going to give them what they need. They need the Word of God, and He gave it to them. What's the matter with America right now, and I don't want you preachers to get mad with me. Don't you get mad with me now. What's the matter with this country right now if all the preachers and all the pulpits of America would start in next Sunday and do what Paul told Timothy to do? We'd turn back this tide and we'd have a revival in America. But the trouble is, we've been raised a different way. We've taught, you know, to shepherd the sheep. And, yeah, mean by that, don't give them anything to eat. That's spiritual. That's the way some people interpret. Until we end this fix. And you rarely ever hear a sermon reproving, rebuking, exhorting the people that need to be reproved and rebuked and exhorted, see? Or they'll jump on something way over yonder. Now, I'm not jumping on you preachers. I'm one of you. I'm just telling you what I'm just telling you because I felt my duty to talk to you. Now, that's what Paul told him to do. Now, many women, listen. If all the preachers in this country would start in, even the fundamental preachers, and for the next 6 months would do what Paul told him they'd do right here, starting with the saints, starting with the deacons and the elders and the stewards and trustees, starting with the Sunday school bridge-playing women, starting with a whole crowd now, and pouring into them, and turn loose, they'd be cussed a little. Some of them might say, we want a new pastor. But if all of them would turn loose now, like Paul told Timothy to do, even the Bible-believing preachers would do that, we'd have a revival in America. But you can't have a revival the way it's carried on now. Come on, kids, everybody, hip, hooray, that's not a revival. You've got to get down to rock bottom. You've got to get down in there and pull them out of the mud. And we're going on. Now, Paul told Timothy, said the time will come, they won't endure it. But give it to them whether they endure it or not. You exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Get in your licks now. For time will come, they'll not endure sound doctrine, but they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now may the Lord help us to see it. Our Heavenly Father, help us to be faithful. And, oh, Lord God, in this salt age in which you're living, when they're just going along, everybody together, and no red-blooded Christianity to speak of left in America, Lord God, raise up preachers in this country. They'll preach straight and denounce sin and stand up for the new birth and the blood atonement and the fundamentals of the faith and to preach hell and judgment until people repent. Oh, Lord God, send us one more great nationwide spiritual revival. If it can be thy will before Jesus comes, we pray in thy name. Amen.
You've been listening to The Word of Truth with Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., a man who went to his heavenly home after more than 70 years of influencing thousands with his compassion for souls and the Word of God. Consider this. Bob Jones University has produced much of the leadership for today's Christian schools and has trained the administrators of other Christian colleges. So, if you want the best grad school training in education, go to the source. Contact Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. We'll make you better by degrees.